And when, yeah, when she says,
peeling back the layers of an onion. Come
on. And we're down to 1 minute.
Hello, and welcome to Bunta Vista. Oops, we're all meat. That's right, we have suffered an ancient curse because we've built our podcast lab studio thing on top of somewhere bad with dark magics, and therefore we've been transformed into different kinds of meat. We've been given also the gift of speech and, like, thought and stuff. And also we can feel pain and we auto-renew like the magic pudding. But we feel like agonizing pain every time someone takes a bite out of us. This is our existence now. I'm a delicious cheesy Kransky. A little bit of chili mixed through there. It's smoked. Just subtly, not too much. Crisp to the teeth. Al dente, as they say in German.
Got snap.
It's got a snap to it. That's right.
El Dante.
And my life is agony. I'm here with Ben, who's a beautiful Wagyu porterhouse cut, sustainably sourced and deliciously sourced.
Great.
How are you, Ben?
I'm wonderful.
Merry Christmas.
I thought that you were doing... you know that short story? It's called, like, They're Made of Meat.
Metamorphosis, yeah.
That's a novella, if anything. But you know the one? It's they're made of meat, the one where it's like a dialogue between, like, two aliens describing the planet Earth where they're like, oh, my God, they're entirely made of meat. And mean that they're like, anyway, I'll link it in the thing. It's a classic. Okay. It's from ages ago, whatever. I thought you were doing a sort of a meta commentary on, like, the absurdity of being in a sort of having consciousness but being flesh, which is kind of disgusting. No. Cronenberg explores this quite a lot. But you weren't just talking meat in the general sense that our bodies are made of meat. We're food. We're talking food.
I think if I've got a criticism for that sort of approach to understanding the world, you know, like, oh, we're all meat. Nothing matters because we're all just thinking and talking meat.
Yeah.
First of all,
quoting from a Strapping Young Lad song there.
There's also bones in there. So you fucked that up. First and foremost, there's a lot of bones in there.
Yep.
Yeah. And nerves and stuff as well, right, which I don't think is meat.
I think that's
like electrical cabling.
If you get a bone in leg roast, there's a bone in there. That's kind of part of the meat.
No, it's not part of the meat.
I don't go to the butcher and say, hey, I want this roast. And make sure there's some bones in that meat.
No.
But you can go to the butcher and say, take that bone out because I won't be eating it.
Yeah.
Could you butterfly that for me?
I get my shit bone out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And yet everybody yells at me.
Yeah. Oh!
No, what I'm talking about is being some delicious meat. And you might have heard Andrew there. He can still speak, but he is beautifully... dry rubbed rack of ribs, beef, whatever we get. Is that beef have a rack of ribs?
They've got ribs.
They have ribs. Cows have ribs.
No, I know cows have ribs, but I don't know if they come in a rack or some other assortment.
Well, you can. So recently I was calling around butchers trying to get, like, the kind of beef ribs that you can make, like those like dinosaur type, those Flintstones ass looking.
Yeah, completely wasted on me, but I think I can. You know, I can see how you might enjoy it. There's too many ribs for me, I think.
No, you would eat one rib.
Yeah.
You'd eat like one rib on one bone. But I was calling around and I was like, could I get some of these? And they were like, yeah, but they won't be big enough for doing that. And I said, what are you talking about? And they didn't. They didn't get the reference. They were under 30 years old.
Yeah, gotcha.
And they said...
Gary Coleman.
Well, they were telling me about the difference between Australian and American cattle, where they were like, their cattle are fucking huge and they fatten the hell out of them and everything. over here, the beef ribs that you get for, like, you know, short ribs, they'll cut them crossways for like Korean style barbecue, or yes, you get the long ribs. But usually those, the ones that we're talking about, are from further down that end of the rib cage. And off Australian cattle, they are simply too thin. If you try to smoke them for many hours, they'll all up and disappear. You cannot get yourself the dinosaur style ribs.
And what kind of ribs do you see yourself as?
Probably pork. Probably nicely marbled, a thick cut of pork.
Maybe like a you're smoking it with some like apple.
Yeah, wood. Maybe some cherry, you know.
Yes.
Hey, can I just add, I don't want to criticize you or anything, Theo, but if you could stop.
Fucking sounds like you're winding up to.
No, yeah. Look, I'm asking you to be considerate of everyone else here.
Yep.
And if you could just stop popping the little pockets of cheese on your skin like they were big zits for 5 minutes. Just give me a rest from looking at it, because, like, I know it's cheese. Like, yeah. like psychologically, so, I know it's cheese. I know it's not pus.
The problem,
but it feels like you're squeezing out a big pocket of pus every time you do it. And also it doesn't help that you put it in your mouth afterwards.
My insides are literally boiling. So if I don't pop them, they're going to pop themselves.
It's a preventative pop.
It's a preventative pot. I am full of broiling cheese, ready to go at any point of time. So bite into me before that happens. Have a little taste. God, I love a cheesy Kransky.
I can tell.
Good, aren't they?
I was able to assess from this intro that you enjoy a cheese Kransky.
They are good as hell.
Hey, if you were a thinking sausage that could feel pain, getting exploded on the barbecue would maybe be the one thing that you didn't want to happen. It's time for This Is The One Thing We Didn't Want To Happen.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
Maybe you would want it to happen, though, just to bring it all to an end. Yeah. Just mercy, you know?
Kill me!
I don't care about the agonizing pain I'm going to experience before I explode on the grill, because you didn't prick any little holes in me. Apparently, you're not supposed to do that.
I know, it's because then all the fat will render out, and then half your flavor's exactly. gone.
All your moisture's gone.
Yeah. I imagine it kind of being like a martyring, though, of the sausage to be cooked on the plate.
To be cooked on the plate.
To be cooked upon the plate. It's what we all dream of for ourselves in the end.
This is from K-A-R-E in Minnesota. Minnesota man suffers second and third degree burns after heated insoles explode inside his boots.
Hey, save some degrees of burns for the rest of us.
Yes. Well, at least we still got first.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not calling that one, though. I don't.
I'll take him.
Oh, wait. First is the best, isn't it?
First, I don't know.
Yeah,
I've
first
never
is the
known.
Best. So he skipped. There's none of his foot is
was just
first
kind
degree,
of okay.
Just kind of a little bit burnt.
Oh, quote, don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the message Michaela Morris of Trimont, Minnesota has for anyone interested in purchasing rechargeable heated apparel products to keep warm this winter.
Rechargeable heated
apparel products. People are buying like clothes that have heating elements in them.
Yeah, I keep getting an ad for one of these online where it's like a puffer vest type thing, and then there's like an overlaid glowing heat element on all the parts of it. And no.
Don't.
You
got to
pair them with the underpants that has the lithium ion battery in the crotch.
Hey, getting one of those, you may as well just bloody eat a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 for breakfast, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes! Is that the one that exploded?
I think that's the one.
In a Facebook post, she shared photos of her husband Tyler's charred foot and melted off skin after his rechargeable insoles, which were not turned on at the time, exploded inside his boots.
Not even turned on!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. At least give me the pleasure with the pain, you know?
Yes.
One thing you didn't want to happen is unlocked.
Yeah. Never really thought about.
I never thought my
exploding.
Shoes could explode, except for that fella. He tried to make that ruckus on the plane that time.
The guy that got the. That makes you now have to take your shoes off at American airports. It was like literally one guy, right? And now Americans have to humiliate themselves by standing in their socks at the airport. Blah! Yeah.
It must have been so funny for Bin Laden after, like, every day after 9/11, right? Yeah. Just going like, Look at what they're doing to themselves. Look at them prostrating themselves like children, yeah.
Playing Mario Kart 64 on the emulator on his computer.
Yeah.
And getting updates about the security measures at airports and being like, oh, Sam, you are crazy for this one. Woohoo, blue shell.
Yeah. Hope the Pakistani government doesn't give me up.
A bunch of 64 ROMs on his computer.
Yeah, yeah. At
least that's what the CIA says anyway.
You could probably just read that whole list out on the show without spicing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The insoles sold by the company iHeat. More like I explode.
Yeah.
More like die heat.
Yes.
Hmm.
He's still alive.
Are no longer available on Amazon. KARE contacted Amazon and iHeat for comment, but has not heard back. Tyler said when he took the insoles out again this fall for deer hunting season, they weren't working very well, but he kept them in his boots for added comfort.
Okay.
You can get regular ones.
Just get regular insoles.
But he already has some.
That don't have fucking batteries in them and shit. Quote, I guess I should have taken them out because I was not using them. They were not on, Tyler said. They were just in my boots. And all of a sudden, the one exploded.
Oh, God.
Hey, I've got some good news for this guy, though.
Mm.
So first degree burn, right? It's the best one. Minor burn, only the outer layer of skin. Second degree burn, also called partial thickness burn. Third degree burn, also called full thickness burn. This burn involves all of the layers of skin, and sometimes the fat and muscle tissue under the skin. Burned areas may be black, brown, or white. The skin may look leathery. However, here's the silver lining. Third-degree burns can destroy nerves, so there may be little or no pain.
Oh, that is good.
Isn't that nice? Cool. He might accidentally Darkman his feet, you know?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't watched Sam Raimi's Darkman? On Thursday, December 12th, Tyler said he was preparing to put a fish house on the lake when he felt a sharp pain in his right foot.
Quote, are we talking like ice fishing house?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably an ice fishing house.
Okay.
Or it's a little house for some fish that he put
there. I guess it makes sense that it's not always out there because during the summer months, it's going to be a water house.
Correct. Hmm. Quote, it just felt like a knife stabbed me in my heel, he recalled. Then it started getting super, super hot, and I started freaking out, and there was white smoke just billowing out of my boot.
God.
Man. It's got to be bad if you're telling the news you were freaking out.
Yeah.
Because you could lie. You could say, well,
I was being super brave.
Yeah, I was being stoic, and I took the boot off. And sure, it hurt, but, you know, I'm a tough guy. Tyler said he managed to kick his boot off within 5 seconds, but half his sock was already burning. Quote, the insole came out in pieces, he said, adding that he's thankful he was wearing wool socks and shoes without laces, which likely saved him an even worse injury
in
the second and third degree burns he sustained on his right foot.
You kind of, I think it would be adding insult to injury. But no, sorry, it would be adding injury to injury if he was wearing like polyester socks.
It'd be worsening his injury, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's a Christmas miracle. I injured myself for the first time in a while the other day. We haven't had an injury report in a while.
Yeah. Hey, if you're my sister and this is the episode you decided to jump back out of it and check out episode 377 regular.
She doesn't like the injury report?
She does not like the injury report.
Like when Andrew gets hurted. I was smoking 2 pieces of chuck roast, I think. And I've been using this smoke tube as well in my smoker. So it's a stainless steel perforated tube. You fill it with the pellets that you also put in the smoker. You light the end of it with a blowtorch, set it on fire, let it go out, and then it just like slowly smolders along and gives you a bunch of extra smoke in the pit as you're doing that. And so like a round of this had finished and I was going to go out and refill it. I had my my cotton gloves and nitriles on over the top of them and was like, oh, that thing's all done, but I'll grab this cloth and just kind of grab it by the edge, you know. I had not looked at it very closely, it turns out, and it still had a bunch of extremely red-hot embers in the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I grabbed it and then moved away, I went, oh! It felt like a knife was stabbing me in my thumb all of a sudden, much like this gentleman. And I went, bah! And like tried to sort of toss it away from me, except that the cloth that I had also used as a bit of a protective barrier had fused itself to the metal.
Oh, no.
And it had also instantly vaporized the nitrile gloves that were on over the cotton gloves. And burned my thumb quite badly as I tossed this thing just away from me. I'm standing on the deck out the back of our place, Ben, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fallen off the side of the deck with a shower of embers that has fallen down through the garden into the layer of dry leaves that was down there.
Oh, no.
Under the other plants and stuff. So I had what always seems to happen to me when I, like, injure myself cooking-wise is that you're then immediately caught between going, now, do I do something about my thumb? Or something about all of the smoke I can smell coming from the garden right now. Mm-hmm. I opted for filling up a bucket of water to douse those embers while also submerging my hand
in the
water.
Smart.
Who says men can't multitask?
That is smart. Good on you.
Didn't like it, though. I didn't enjoy it. Had to have a little cold pack on my thumb for the rest of the night.
Yeah. But at least you weren't putting white phosphorus in your boots to keep them warm.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, personally.
No.
I was doing my stuff for a reason.
Due to the UN convention.
Yeah, also the things I was using were turned on at the time.
Quote, "This happens apparently all the time," Tyler said.
To who?
That shouldn't be. Don't. Stop getting stuff with exploding stuff in it. That's probably my recommendation.
Yeah, I wouldn't get the boots that make your feet melt.
I'd wear an extra pair of socks instead of the foot exploders.
Yeah.
The toe disintegrators. That'd be my, just like three pairs of woolen socks. Ooh, that's cozy.
The shoes that make your feet look like Joyce Carol Oates.
That's right. Maybe that's what happened to her.
Maybe that's no, it's poison ivy.
In fact, when we got to Hennepin County, the doctor told us that I was the third person she had seen for this week.
Bullshit. Fucking no, hell. That can't be. That doctor has forgotten where she is.
Tyler lost feeling in some parts of his foot and was told by doctors he might need skin grafts. He and Michaela are warning others to do extensive research before buying any rechargeable apparel products, especially those manufactured overseas and not locally.
I think my research is being conducted and concluded.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't.
Don't.
I'm going to be honest. I'm very surprised that the conclusion the doctor didn't come to is don't.
Yeah.
Simply don't.
Don't be like, hey, make sure you get the right foot exploder.
Yeah. Get high quality.
Choose an American foot exploder.
You might be
Chinese
in here.
Foot exploder.
Yeah.
Quote, I would say on any of it, Michaela said. Heated insoles, socks, vests, coats, gloves. Because not only could it have been his foot, it could have been his hand.
Yeah.
It could have been if he had socks on, it could have been his whole leg.
It could be the guy from the Wish You Were Here CD cover.
Incubus?
Completely on fire.
Talking about Incubus?
Pink Floyd. He's talking about Pink Floyd.
Oh.
Jeez. Aloo.
Christ alive. And if you're under 35.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. If you're between 25 and 30, you're probably like, yeah, Incubus.
Retroact Incubus.
Wait, no, not 25 and 30. 30 and 35, probably.
It's like one of those, like, you know, the things, the memes where it's like, you know, are you a retro gamer? And it's like, super old, you are playing Halo 3.
I fucking hate aging so much. I'm becoming so... you know what's
Are you listening to Boomer Rock, like Incubus and Pearl Jam?
You guys seen how many Zoomers are wearing jorts? They're wearing big pairs of jorts.
Yeah, but that's funny.
Yeah, me and Eleanor went to the Meredith Music Festival, and she was like, I'm going to be seeing a lot of fucking young women in jorts, aren't I?
And like big, like non-distressed, like purely uniform denim of like that sort of, it's not a deep blue denim. It's a kind of nothingy middle of the road denim.
Yeah.
Sick of seeing these big pants. They're all wearing the big pants as well. You look fucking ridiculous. We look stupid wearing them. You look stupid wearing them.
We looked stupid at the time. We thought John Cena was cool.
Yes. Well, he's pretty cool.
He is cool. Seems like a nice guy.
Are we talking?
He really loves China.
How big are we talking, though? Are we talking Kevin Smith at the...
Oh, like people are wearing fucking like JNCOs and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, what I think is kind of worse than that, in a way, though, is that like, I think there are probably a lot of people that you could find who are wearing like JNCOs and like crazy... Like D-Generation X football jerseys and wild ass shit like that, or like a Fred Durst Roland style football jersey or something. What is kind of worse to me is wearing stuff that was just the middle of the road, like what you would get from JJ's jeans in 2005, kind of stuff. Yeah, like me and Ella were seeing,
it's just stupid.
Me and Eleanor were seeing like girls in their 20s just wearing like sort of knee-length denim jeans. I mean, jean shorts. And like they're not a crazy color. They're not even especially huge. They're just longer than they should be by any right. Yeah. You know? Don't do
have
it.
You guys,
don't
have
do
you
it.
Guys taken the time to look at Kevin Smith wearing jorts?
I mean, I
have
will
you
never
taken
forget
the
this.
Time.
I wish like, they were doing this.
They're more like jants, if you ask me. They're basically big. They're more like they're more like flood jeans. You know, just trying to keep those ankles dry.
So I went out last night. You boys ever do the run to the to like the 7-Eleven in your pajamas?
No.
Nope.
No. Okay. All right. Well,
fuck,
look.
No. Jesus Christ.
I have
we
self-respect.
Needed, we what? Needed bread and milk, and I had already taken a shower.
And he had his jammies on.
I had my jammies on. I had my shirt that said Super Dad. Uh-huh. I had my shorts that had like all the comic like onomatopoeyas on them.
Right. So it was, hold on.
With the Super Dad shirt.
Yeah. So to be clear, it was like, it would have been identifiable as a sleep set, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
What's your footwear situation?
Thongs.
Oh.
Bunny slippers. He had his sleep cap on.
And that's a perfectly normal thing to do because, like, I've already taken a shower and we needed some bread and milk. And like, so I was taking Finn out for a drive. Get to the 7-Eleven going, like, geez, I feel a little silly in my pajamas. I know everyone does it, going to the 7-Eleven in
your
pajamas.
It's not true. It's not true. But you can't just will that to be true.
And then there was a guy... In like his, I reckon he was in like his mid-40s. He kind of gave a little bit of like, who's the toilet man?
Who's the toilet man?
Kenny?
Kenny. Yeah, that guy.
No,
not
Kenny, the other one, the American one.
How many toilet men do I have to
know? The player's Mater.
Toilet one?
Larry the cable guy?
The toilet man?
Anyway, that kind of figure in like full... Pikachu pajamas.
Did you?
But not like ironic. I think those are the clothes that he sleeps in. He was just gone for a little trip to the 7-Eleven.
Because you're pajama bros? Did you guys recognize each other?
Well, that would kind of assume that this is something that's only seen rarely, but it actually happens. And I went in there and I thought, you know what? They see this. Every other person coming in here in their pajamas. It could be like a Super Dad shirt, could be Pikachu full set.
You're turning to each other and going, this is normal, right?
Yeah. Normal evening to you. And normal evening to you.
Christ alive.
What are you doing, Christ alive, me?
Every week I find something out about the world.
The world is cursing you for.
That is completely orthogonal to my lived experience.
I know that our lives are insanely different. That you're like a father. You're married. You got two kids.
I'm a father and I'm married and I got two kids and I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah.
I don't own pajamas because like the idea of wearing the like Super Dad pajamas.
So they come in a set because the boys also got them. I didn't buy them. This was a Christmas present from like my sister.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she dressed you in them?
And then they've got little shirts that say Sidekick.
Oh.
Yeah,
right. It's cute, right? So, you know, wearing it, it's very cute. It's a wholesome, yeah. Okay, go on. You were saying,
Even if I hadn't showered, you know what? Maybe the shirt would be fine.
Yeah, you swap out the pants, and all of a sudden it's normal.
Slip your ruggers on, put your thongs on, bam, takes like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I don't own ruggers.
You got shorts.
I got shorts that
make
my balls
shorts.
Hurt. Yeah,
yeah, interesting. Oh, there he is
wearing them right now, baby.
He's showing us his beautiful thighs.
Elna's been Elna was talking about you this week, Ben. To our friend.
Jesus, he's in with all the wives. He was waving at my wife before you came in here.
I've actually been friends with your wife almost as long as I've been friends with you.
And she was talking about how our friend needs to get her new boyfriend some smaller shorts. She was saying, you got to get some really slutty shorts. Like Andrew's friend Ben wears. Like Andrew, who has then taken to wearing them because of you.
Thank you. Yes.
And I believe she went looking for a photo of you online.
They know that it all flows from the source.
That's right. Went looking for a photo of Ben's thighs on the internet. She said, look at him. Look at his slutty legs.
They got to be out there somewhere.
What are we doing here?
I think we might have finished the horrific foot injury one. Hey, sometimes when you podcast, people like to make assumptions about your life that are kind of stepping over the boundaries between the personal and the entertainment spheres. Like when people speculated that Theo might have been trans but didn't know it yet by saying the word egg at him a lot. We talk about eggs in Big Egg.
Big and small at the same time? Big egg, 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 big egg.
Oh, big. I want a big egg. For breakfast, eat something the size of my head. Hop out of bed, toast up a whole loaf of bread. Won't eat for a week because I'm gonna stay fed. Big egg this morning, frying it up while I'm yawning. Realization is dawning, egg is too big. Don't own a pot, it will fit. Egg white all over my shit. Crack in a pan that blots out the whole sun. Cook up an omelette that must weigh a ton. Flip it and serve it and eat, I deserve it. Big egg means my day has begun.
Oh, it's energizing.
Big egg.
Also, while we're... So that was made by our wonderful listener, Vino, who also today just put out Oh, and Theo. So it was a collab. That was a Fabo collabo.
Yeah.
Vino today just put out an absolutely fucking sensational, I guess you'd call it a sort of stoner doom kind of song. He put that out under the name Vino Music. Great YouTube channel name. It is called The Expedition. If you search for those things on YouTube, I'll put a link in the comments, actually. Holy fuck, it's so fucking good. This man can do joke music and actual music. This comes to us from the press agency UPI. Almost perfectly spherical egg auctioned for $250.
God.
It's not a lot of money.
That's affordable. It is surprisingly affordable to own a round egg.
Yeah, if you've ever dreamed of it, it's within your grasp.
This is peasant dream stuff.
What sort of fees do you think you're paying to the auctioneer? And then you got to pay the tax man on the sale.
Yeah, that's
What are you taking home from this? Like $80?
An egg bought from a supermarket was donated to a British charity and fetched $250 at auction due to an unusual feature. It's quote almost perfectly spherical shape.
I feel like the order of operations there could be improved. You're donating the egg?
Yeah.
To the charity?
Yeah, so that everyone then bids on it and, you know, probably tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars go to the charity, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't you do it the other, like, so typically charities turn money into assistance. So wouldn't you auction the egg first and then give the money to the charity? Or is this completely normal? They receive round eggs all the time and go like, oh, yeah, we'll just talk to our round egg guy.
We need to speak to our expert.
The egg was originally found in a dozen bought from a grocery store in Ayr, Scotland, and was purchased by Lambourne, Berkshire resident Ed Pownall for $187. What? Is it purchased for $187 via auction house Thompson, Roddick and Callan? Maybe there's meant to be a pound sign there or something. Why are we giving two separate amounts? Wait, no. What? No, it's been auctioned twice. All right, so he got it on auction at for $187. Okay, so someone found, they opened up their dozen eggs that they bought, There's a round egg in there. That egg was purchased from them by someone at the auction house? No. The person that found it auctioned it through this auction house, and Ed bought it for $187.
Wow. Qui bono.
Who indeed? Powell, who said he bought the egg on impulse after having a few drinks, donated the egg to the Leventis Foundation, a charity that supports young people in Oxfordshire.
Can't tell you how many times I've woken up screaming hangover. What did I get up to last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bought another egg that I thought was going to be perfectly round. And when it got here, it wasn't that round. Better donate it.
So this charity, in turn, sold the egg as part of a fundraiser auction on website 32 Auctions. Foundation official Roz Rapp is R-O-Z-R-A-P-P.
Or as we like to call her, Rapp and Roz.
Yes, correct. Foundation official Roz Rapp said the auction, which included bidding on dozens of other items, raised a total of about $6,250 for the charity. How many hands did this round egg pass through?
I want everybody touching my round egg.
Yeah.
How long is that egg going to keep? What will the person, the final recipient of the egg, do with the egg? It's not going to keep forever. Are they going to do that? Like the, Easter egg decorated thing where you prick like a pinprick on either side and you blow the stuff out?
You think they're going to do a blown egg?
I think they might blow this egg.
Hmm. And they can. Charity. It's theirs now. It's
yeah.
theirs
blowing
now. And
this
they can
egg
do
for
like.
Charity. Well, we will maybe find out what happened to that egg if we ever do an update on it. We do updates on things in, oh shit, it's time for an update on an old news story.
Oh shit, it's an update to an old news story.
There's two Vino things.
Two Vinos. Right. I'm seeing double here.
This is an update to a story that we talked about in the bonus episode, Uzbek Fiber to the Premises. Now this, I believe that was just me and Andrew on that one,
yeah,
but we
no,
talked about
that one.
A man in Wisconsin who faked his own death by kayaking accident so that he could leave his family to be with an Uzbek lady.
But this is the second follow-up on that.
This is the second follow-up because I was there for the original.
Oh, we have done it thrice now, haven't we? Yeah. All right, so our stories were, they're pretty sure he disappeared. Then the second one was, yeah, we're talking to him. He's reappeared after he disappeared. And this is an update again. Here we go. From WLUK, The Look. Oh. Ryan Borgwart's wife files for annulment after his return from Europe.
Oh, and those cops said,
yeah, yes,
come home so your wife can forgive you.
Your
come
family home and make misses it right. you. Yes.
It's almost Christmas. Don't you want Christmas with your family?
Just another reason not to believe the cops and to stay with your Uzbeki homewrecker.
Yeah, you could have had a beautiful Uzbek Christmas with this hot Uzbek woman you met online.
Yeah, and let's all say what we think an Uzbek Christmas looks like.
Cured meats.
Yeah,
okay.
A lot of meats.
A lot of cured meats.
Not so different from us.
You know what? Sometimes I think the people from Uzbekistan are complete aliens. And then at other times, I think, hey, we're all brothers on this earth.
Yeah,
Sometimes I think about him, I get scared.
It's the guy with Don Draper in the elevator, and it's us thinking about what an Uzbek Christmas might look like and what they might be up to. And then the Uzbeks are Donald Draper. They're going, I don't think about you at all.
They don't. The average person in Uzbekistan thinks about Australia once every decade, I think.
Let alone this podcast.
Yeah, true. And if you are an Uzbek listener of this podcast, please let us know.
Especially if you look like John Hamm. If you're Uzbek, John Hamm, get in touch. John Hamm of the step.
They got the step? Uzbek step? I assume so. I know nothing about that region at all.
We really should know more. They don't teach us anything in geography? No. Nationography? Social studies?
That would be geography, I think.
No. Oh, I guess if it's a step or not, that falls. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I've got a picture, like one of them with Alexander the Great. I suppose he went over there for a bit.
Oh, he went everywhere.
Looking a bit like God Emperor.
Emily Borgwart filed for annulment / legal separation Thursday from Ryan Borgwart, her husband who faked his own drowning so he could leave her and their children and meet a woman in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Well, when you put it like that, sure, it sounds bad.
This newspaper's in the pocket of Big Angry at You for Leaving Your Wife.
Yes. Borgwart returned to the United States earlier this week and is now facing obstruction charges. According to the petition filed in Dodge County, the marriage is, quote, irretrievably broken. The document doesn't elaborate.
I don't really think they're... Just show them the news reports. Show them this podcast.
Yeah, have you read... Yeah, have you heard about it on Comedy Current Events podcast, Punta Vista?
They're all over it. Don't worry.
Man, this is... This guy... I don't think he's a good person based on what he did, but this has really not worked out for him. He decided to do the right thing and come back, and it has just fucking fallen apart.
He's made mistakes. And then some more mistakes.
Well, and then he tried to sort of make right on his mistakes. Because, like, there's no fucking way he was going to get, like, extradited back to the US for, like county-level obstruction charges, right?
No.
I'm not a lawyer, but like, I don't think they were going to like fucking black bag him and put him on a plane and fly him back to the US.
In fact, I think that has a lot to do with the strategy from the sheriff of asking nicely.
Yeah.
Hey, it worked. Trust me, no one's going to yell at you, he says to the man who is soon to become the most yelled at guy.
Yeah.
It sucks so bad. Like getting off the plane and he thinks he's going to shake hands with the sheriff, and the sheriff's going to be like, hey, you did the right thing. Instead, the sheriff grabs his wrist, slaps the handcuffs on. It's like, ha ha! You idiot!
Stupid fuck!
Why'd you come back?
I can't believe that worked.
And this one's tricky, right? Because only in the sense that obviously I am not pro abandoning your wife and children with no financial support and so on and so forth. But also, I don't think that people who don't want to be married to each other should be compelled to remain married to each other. Like, and that seemed to be the sheriff's whole angle here was, come back and, like, we here at the sheriff's department will help save your marriage?
Yeah.
And, like, number one, they're clearly not doing that. And number two, his wife has very much left him.
Man, this is so grim. The separation petition states that the couple has been married for 22 years and Emily Borgwart wants sole custody of their three teenage children.
Well, he didn't seem very fucking interested in them recently. So,
no, by default. You know.
Fair enough, but fuck.
I introduced a friend to Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story recently and had a big laugh at the section where he's talking about his family with, what's her name, Jane Levy or whoever it is playing the journalist, and he says, "Oh, I'm estranged from my family and my 25 children. I'm currently locked in a court battle over custody, which they are attempting to force on me. So I don't think you should be able to do that." Which always gets a laugh out of me. And that's this guy. Like, what? Who's arguing this? He tried to fake his own death to not have to have custody of his kids.
Yeah.
Surely that court case is going pretty simply.
At least when they thought he was dead, they would have thought of him fondly.
Yes.
And now they're like, holy shit, our dad sucks big time. What a fucking loser. Man. Ryan is listed as being self-employed and currently residing at a, quote, unknown address.
You were at an unknown address before. You should have stayed there.
This is just, he's sleeping on someone's couch and he's between jobs now and he's come back and everyone in town knows that he faked his own death to go have sex with a lady and now he's come back.
And presumably without the Uzbek hottie.
Yeah, presumably alone.
Well, she's going to be mad at him too.
Yeah. Man, he's abandoned two families.
Pay the fucking fines that you're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
Do whatever time you got to do and then move anywhere else, because your family does not want you in their lives. Get out of there. You fucked up irreparably.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean the rest of your life is a write-off, but your old life is a write-off.
No, you just live on the road now. You travel from place to place, finding what work you may.
Ideally, you should be moving from town to town, maybe helping to solve some crimes or resolve some issues. Righty and then wrongs. When that's done, you move on to the next
one. One question that the articles that we have spoken to has not addressed is, are you extremely large in all dimensions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you very, very large? Could you solve some mysteries by being big?
Hmm.
A big person.
Wait, are you going to... what's his name? Jack Reacher?
Jack Reacher, yeah.
Interesting, because I was going to Kung Fu.
I was thinking of The Incredible Hulk, the TV series. Are you going to go from town to town, hulking out and helping, and then leaving again?
You fucked up your life, dude. You're going to have to go full Lou Ferrigno now.
Yep. You're going to have to hulk or reach or... You could do a quantum leap, but frankly, it will all have to be in this era.
Yeah,
you know? Lone wolf without cub.
Era. You won't have the time travel element, unfortunately.
Yeah,
the quantum
Your cub wants nothing to do with you. Your cart, your cart loaded with weapons will be empty.
Yeah, more room for weapons though. Great series. Did you know that Uzbekistan is one of only two doubly landlocked countries? It is landlocked itself. There's
inside
no
inside a landlocked country?
Inside, surrounded by landlocked countries.
Oh.
The only other one is...
Lesotho.
I've lost it. Liechtenstein.
Oh. That's very interesting. I've been thinking I need to make a theme. Oh, Andrew, I guess I may as well ask you now. I want a theme for a segment called Now That's Mildly Interesting. And it's one mildly interesting fact every week. Ish. Well, whatever.
Interesting fact.
The other day, I drove down to the bar to pick Maddie up after she finished her shift, and she was hanging out with a friend of the show, my coworker and friend Graham, who was just unbelievably cooked. He had quite a lot of beers and was mildly stoned, and he was trying to relate an anecdote about Kung Fu, the TV show, but he couldn't remember anything about it other than the wandering from town to town aspect. He's like, oh, you know, you'd be like the walking around guy. The walking around karate guy. Jesus Watermane. I was like, what? Huh? He's like, you know, Jesus Watermane, he's the karate guy. Like
Jesus Watermane, Jesus the, Watermane karate the karate guy. Guy.
David Carradine from Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's pretty far away, isn't it?
Hey, it's not even close. I got it, though. I got that in about 10 seconds, I reckon. Jesus Watermane.
David Carradine? Did he? No, David Carradine's still around.
No, David Carradine.
No,
he's
the one.
He's the one.
All right. He's the guy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
He's one of those guys. He's a very short list that everyone knows. All right.
Yeah. The filing comes one day after Ryan Borgwart was charged with obstruction for faking his own death on Green Lake on August 11th. He fled to the county of he fled to the country of Georgia, but according to Sheriff Mark Podol, returned to the United States on his own accord. So we got a little bit confused in some of the previous times we talked about this because he was hooking up with an Uzbek woman. We assumed he had gone to Uzbekistan. And we were getting a lot of confusion over whether he was in Eastern Europe or Asia and people were getting snippy in the comments. Here's the answer. It was an Uzbek woman, but he was in Georgia.
Yes.
Which is in Eastern Europe.
We're not talking about the state of Georgia. We're talking about the nation state of Georgia.
That's right. Borgwart was released on a signature bond. He returns to court on January 13th. Pal, you got to walk the earth. So all you got left of you is walking the earth. Good luck out there. Hey, I bet in some of his time walking the earth, he might get into some gunfights or something, and he might maybe get clipped. It's time for the clipping report.
I hate getting clipped.
Now, this is just a single story this time, not a list. This is from KOCO in Oklahoma.
The Coco.
Blanchard student was able to discharge school resource officer's firearm due to gap in holster.
Oh, that's the dream.
Is it?
Yeah. You got to pass a lockpick check on the way there.
This is no good. So as just a reminder for people that come from regular countries, the school resource officer is the police officer that is stationed at the school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I believe that's to help prevent gun violence. Right?
Yeah, so make sure no gun violence happens. Yeah, keep him safe.
He is the meat and bones that the gun is attached to.
Yes, he's the gun carrier. The gun needs to be at the school, and there has to be a guy to accompany the gun.
Otherwise, he's just sitting there.
And then sometimes to fill in the time, they'll like choke slam like 14-year-olds for like being disruptive in class or whatever, or they'll arrest them for like having overdue lunch fees or whatever. Really, really fucking awesome. The McLean County Sheriff's Office said it is checking all deputy service weapons after a firearm discharged on a Blanchard Public Schools playground.
What are they doing on the playground? The guy with the gun.
Yeah. Not the ideal spot.
Surely they just stand like a sentinel.
Yeah, at the entrance.
Ready, yeah, like shut down. Like the little fire in their head is growing dim until the fuel of violence erupts.
Until a couple of like Columbine-style guys, you see some trench coat kids walking up. Activate.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he awakens and he pats his belt and goes, shit, I left my Glock in the toilet.
Yeah. I left my Glock in the two schools, the classrooms I've been to so far this morning, grade one and grade two.
Working my way up.
It's all right. It's got a super heavy trigger pull.
Yeah, there's no safety, but it's a really heavy trigger pull. On Friday, a deputy and school resource officer with the Blanchard District was at the elementary playground passing out stickers. Officials said a student was able to reach into his holster and pull the trigger of his firearm.
Yes.
Hey, kids, you want some stickers? Bang! Within half a second, this happens. Scott Gibbons with the McLean County Sheriff's Office said, a young man has entered this area. He has kids all around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're at the playground.
That's
for the
one
elementary
way
school.
To weirdly describe the scene.
Gibbons,
like, that's what kids do, right? Like they
get
just
their
reach
little
out.
Fingers into stuff.
They grab stuff.
They're grabbing. They're always grabbing. They're physically exploring the world around them, which includes your fucking gun, dipshit. Gibbons said there was a gap between the weapon and the holster. That gap was just large enough for wandering hands to find.
Now.
Why are they being cutesy when they're describing this? A kid fired a gun on a playground. Man. Quote, when he heard a pop and smelt, S-M-E-L-T, gunpowder, he stood up and checked the child. He noticed a bullet hole in the bench next to him, Gibbons said. It appears fucking a small finger may have made it between the holster and the gun itself.
Took him a while, I guess, to register what that sound could possibly have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A small explosion entirely within the locale of my belt?
No one was injured in the incident. The McLean County Sheriff's Office said it was able to recreate the same situation with the same outcome.
Now,
what?
Let's get some more kids in here.
Children, sort of grab at this guy's like sort of holster area. Pop. Aha! We figured it out. You got to be able to reproduce your results for it to be scientifically rigorous.
Yes.
Once is an accident. Twice, though?
Grab my Glock and pull the trigger once. Shame on you.
Yes. Yeah.
This is like a wonderful metaphor for gun safety stuff in the States, isn't it? That
the
issue that is being identified as a result of this is in fact the holster.
Yeah,
we got to do something about this holster and
this
the way.
Country's got a holster problem.
Country's got a holster problem. You know what we should do is at the start of each school day, we get all the grade one and two kids and like tape their hands into like a ball. You know?
Putting oven mitts on all the children to make sure this never happens again.
We've had some problems. Look.
Yeah, it's the only, like what? All right, so so a finger can get in there. What are we doing about these fingers?
Let's not absolve ourselves entirely here, though, right? Like, just yesterday I was in Kmart. You guys know Kmart? Some cool stuff in there from Instagram.
Hotel.
Buying a toilet seat for my child. And there was just two cops walking around pushing a trolley. And they are fucking strapped.
Yeah.
For what? In Kmart.
Yeah.
And they were doing some Christmas shopping and with several guns.
What? Why? What?
Well, because you got to get got to get your stuff for your little
kids. Are they on duty?
I don't know. Maybe they're off duty.
I don't like that at all.
Are their guns off duty?
God damn.
And really, when you're on the force, you're never really off duty. Yes, you never really stand down.
You could accidentally ruin someone's life or on purpose ruin someone's life at any hour of the day. That's the burden of being a cop.
Yeah.
All of the McLean County deputies provide their own service weapon and holster. What do you reckon that fucking looks like?
That's cool. That's,
these guys got deagles. These guys got magnums. They've got the stupid, like, really long barrel magnum from Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
And the police chief has the long-barreled magnum that the 1989 Joker pulls out of his pants.
School resource officer rocking up with the magnum with the scope from Mad Max 2. quote, there is no indication he did anything wrong, policy-based or statute-based, Gibbons said.
It's the children. It's the children who've committed the error here.
Oh, how about this? Quote, the parent of the child in question has already requested this deputy is returned to the school immediately.
He's got to keep my son safe.
Yeah.
What is fucking wrong with you people? You all have like...
stupid son.
Like, Stockholm Syndrome is fake, except Americans have it for cops.
Yes.
Like, fuck, man.
Maybe. Have we considered that parent really does not like their child?
Yeah, I guess.
Get him back in there. Get him back. Let my son have another chance. Let him have another grab at the apple, you know?
Oh, yeah. Maybe he just wants his son to practice his craft.
Yeah.
Level up his stealth skill.
Like, if someone nearly blasted my child on the playground at their school where...
Oh, you're going to try and cancel them? Is that what you're about?
Hit the table.
Hey, Ben, quick question, Ben. Are you saying here, recorded on a podcast to be released semi-publicly, that you've never made a mistake?
That's right. I should be more forgiving. I feel like I would have maybe like a couple of hours, if not years, of a sort of emotional response to someone nearly killing my child, where I would be pretty pissed off at them. That would be me personally, I think.
I think if I was the cop, I would also be having a reaction to almost killing a child while I was at work.
I don't know whether Americans have a causal relationship between guns and bullets coming out.
Yeah, yes. Sort of like they're just like the weather. They're like a natural phenomenon that just sort of happens and there's no intent or anything behind it. Like there's nothing that can be done about it. They're like the Aurora Borealis.
Yes.
Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, maybe if you spend enough time reading news coverage that constantly refers to bullets coming out of guns in a completely passive voice, you start to believe that that's the way it works. Yeah. That it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
You know?
We should put bullets on the blockchain.
That'll do it. The sheriff's office will not only check their deputy's current service weapons, but they will also monitor future department-issued weapons to make sure this doesn't happen again. They said they may make policy changes based off what they find.
Now,
again,
really
no version of this that involves not taking the gun onto the playground.
Yeah.
I'm really stupid, so I'm going to get this wrong, but like sheriffs and deputies are just made up in America as well, right? That's not like... necessarily
you are
the police
sheriff's
force.
An elected position.
Yeah,
right?
Sheriff means different things in different places. Sometimes it's an elected position. Sometimes it's just like you are the head of a police department. Like it's weird. It's a strange country, but it's not the only strange country.
Go on.
Let's check in on another strange country in France. Watch.
Hon 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 hon
hon hon hon hon hon hon.
This is from the English language French news website, The Connection.
La Connexion.
Connexion. Yeah, it's with an X. Like, is it the New Yorker that does that?
Yeah, Connexion.
That's very weird. Man leaves 10 million euro to Normandy village just because of its name.
Cool.
A man has given over 10 million euros to a village in Normandy, although it was not known that he had ever visited or had any connection to it except for sharing a name. Sure, you got to give it to someone, right?
All right, yeah.
Are you guys going to cry about being given 10 million euros? Is that what's happening here? I don't want it unless it comes from a close personal friend.
I met a guy yesterday who he has my surname as his first name. It's just really odd. His first name was McClay. I was like, McClay. That's crazy.
That's a cool first name.
If we got married and you took my name,
yes,
your name would be McClay McClay.
McClay McClay.
I think you should set about trying to marry this gentleman.
We kind of hit it off, actually. I feel like we had an easy chemistry. Roger Tiberville. Now, this might well be Roger Tiberville, but I'm not going to do that for a whole story. Did not have any heirs, so he decided to bequeath part of his fortune to his accountant and the rest to Tiberville, a village of just 1,800 residents in the Eure. The mairie of Tiberville confirmed the good news to the connection and stated, "It is a lovely surprise just before Christmas." You guys want to hear the best French name you've ever heard in your entire life?
Yeah, probably.
So I'm up for that.
I'm going to do two readings of this guy's name. I'm going to do an English pronunciation and a French pronunciation.
I'm going to go French mode.
So first we have Guy Paris.
Yeah.
And secondly we have Guy Paris.
That's what I'm talking about.
I would love to meet Guy Paris. Guy Paris, the mayor of Tiberville, was first notified of the donation back in August when he received a call from a notaire. However, the exact sum was only confirmed in the last few days. Not much is known about Roger Tiberville. He was a weather engineer who lived in a small flat in Paris and led a discreet life.
Oh my God, they admit it.
What's, yeah.
The
okay.
French controlling the weather?
What else could weather engineer mean? I don't. Is that what weather engineers
are there better,
do?
Are there more favorable weather patterns to smoke outdoors in?
I kind of Googled this, but the only results I get are about weather engineering. Like, that's fucking nuts. I didn't think we knew enough about this for this to be anyone's job.
Weather
engineer. Well, maybe, Theo, sometimes your mistress catches you out with your wife and you're sad and you need it to rain while you walk home.
Yeah.
You know?
Cloud seeding. Man. Have we ever spoken on the podcast about those people that have the services where they claim that they can scatter particles in the air that will make it not rain on your wedding day or whatever?
No.
Yeah. We should probably chat about that at some point. He was a weather engineer who lived in a small flat in Paris and led a discreet life. That is wonderful. I'm picturing the guy from Le Samurai. He came from a family of winemakers and inherited from both his parents and his sister, who also died without an heir. This guy's so French. He died on August 23rd this year, age 39. The bulk of the donation came from four Paris flats that he owned. He is not known to have ever set foot in Tiberville. The commune will not pay any inheritance tax on the 10 million euros as it is a public collectivity and therefore there is not a requirement to pay tax according to the tax code. The money, which is five times Tiberville's yearly budget, will be used to pay off debts. Been having a tough time in Tiberville, I guess.
We have spent the whole city's coffers on pornography.
And cigarette.
That's a lot of porno and cigarette. Quote, it could also help us complete projects such as an artificial football pitch, a new fire station, renovation of the public garden, and introducing a France services center, etc., Monsieur Paris told Actu. There are plans to install a headstone in Mr. Tiberville's honor in the Tiberville Cemetery, and as per his last wishes, spread his ashes there.
Is that the usual setup? Because...
Like a headstone and the ashes?
Yeah, headstone, and then you kind of just sprinkle it on top.
I don't know. That does seem kind of weird.
I don't think you sprinkle it on the headstone.
No, so, I mean,
you know what
would
be cool is if they gave you a symbolic headstone, but they like cast the cement with the ashes in it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's nice.
Then the headstone is both the signifier and the signified.
Yes. Yes. It's a business idea. Trademark, Winter Vista 2024.
The headstone will bear a sun and clouds in reference to his career as a weather engineer. He's been working up at Harp? Is that what he's been doing? Mr. Tiberville did not ask for anything in return for this bequeathment, but we owe him that at least, said Monsieur Barry. It's so fucking weird to get your ashes spread somewhere that you have never been just because it's got the same surname.
I think it's pretty cool, though.
It's a pretty funny joke.
Yeah. I mean, and like, obviously the town benefits from the 10 million euro that you gave them. So that's pretty cool. Leaving a legacy to communes in wills is not a rare occurrence, although one of this level is almost unheard of. It is only the third bequeathment of such value in France's history.
Hmm.
How did they find that out?
The bequeathment registry?
Yeah. The like French bequeathment database? Very strange. Hey, I think that was an episode of the podcast Bunta Vista. This is our final episode for the year. Wow. If everything's gone right, I'm releasing this on Christmas Eve, Australia time, so you can sort of get this in before all your festivities commence. You, the Paybo, aren't getting any new episodes for another 2 weeks. The Freebos are getting some unlocked bonus episodes. Generally, around this time of year, I put out a list of recommendations for other podcast episodes from the year that I've really enjoyed from other podcasts. So you can maybe check those out. Thank you very much for listening this year and for paying us money. We appreciate that very, very much. I hope whatever you're doing over this time of year, you have a lovely time. And we hope to keep teaching you about the world next year.
Yeah. Keep curious. Ask questions about the world around you.
Yes. Read a plaque if you see a plaque somewhere and go, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, I think that guy controlled the weather.
This guy was a weather engineer? The fuck is that? We will talk to you next year. Stay safe out there. Mwah.
Thank
you. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Cooking soul.
Keep your mind on your mask, kid. Horror form a classic. It's drastic. Villain hydrochloric acid splashed it. Pull a knob, reached and blasted. Pow. Pinstripes on a basket. New York style, wow. Cheddar grab easy. It's only entertainment though, when thought out completely. Sad demeanor could get him the drop and bag cleaner. Master schemer, expert in that arena. Puffin' Pasadena. He read the grass was greener. Black Beamer. IH gyrate, rubbing shoulders with pigs who don't fly straight. Just ate, causing indigestion. Soon regurgitate into profits, no question. Nosy agents sniffing around. Pay attention, you can take that to the bank. Thanks, don't mention it. Pleasure's all mine. That is all.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Christmas Eve waiting for some extra fat white dude to come busting through the ceiling when you can spend Christmas Eve with yours truly, the super villain, Doom. Ho, ho, ho.